it's sort of almost the kind of mirror image of the FBI's wanted list, because as you say, the whole point of that is that it's public. In this case, you know, in some ways, the whole point is that it's secret.
The kill list. It's the president's shifting roster of names of high-profile targets.
This is a list you don't really want to get nominated for, but they look at PowerPoint slides giving biographical details and what's known about suspected terrorists, and then they essentially argue out whether a particular individual qualifies to be added to this list.
That's New York Times reporter Scott Shane. We spoke to him yesterday about this kill list and just how it works. Today we want to get a closer look at the implications of having a kill list, a list that constantly changes. Colleen Rowley is a former FBI special agent and division counsel in Minneapolis. Also with us this morning, Rhonda Susskind, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and the author of The Price of Loyalty and Confidence Men, Wall Street, Washington, and the Education of a President. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
Great to be here.
Colleen, the New York Times called this unprecedented. Is it to have this kind of list? Most of them, as I said, are connected to Al-Qaeda terrorists who are a danger to the United States and therefore, in most cases, can be killed or captured.
Well, if you go way back to before Gerald Ford, there were assassination lists, apparently, and he made it illegal. But this type of list where you're starting to add teenagers and going down to the – no one knows how many people are on this list, and no one even knows if it might not eventually include American so-called homegrown terrorists. That is very unprecedented.
Is it legal?
Well, that's what we need to know. We need to see this memo. You know, if you recall, back in the Bush administration, he had lawyers like John Yoo writing up memos to torture people. And when those were reviewed by lawyers and by judges, they were revealed to be completely shoddy. So that is exactly what people, judges in the judicial branch, should be asking for right now, is to review that memo that created a new kind of due process. That's exactly what they call it, a new kind of due process, where it is a PowerPoint presentation instead of judicial authorities.
That's Colleen Rowley, former FBI special agent, also with us, Ron Susskind, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. And Ron, I wonder what kind of turn in the war on terrorism this represents. I mean, obviously, President Obama seems to want to wrap up the wars. Obviously, the war in Iraq is done. He seems to want to wrap up the war in Afghanistan. Is this his alternative to an invasion?
Well, you know, the war on terror is one that almost by definition, as it's defined currently, doesn't have a neat end. I don't think there's a neat end in terms of the withdrawal of American troops. So obviously, that's not going to be happening anytime soon in terms of the full American presence in either Iraq or Afghanistan. I think what's interesting here is this sort of a notion of an endless and ongoing U.S. engagement in assassinations that are quite different. You know, George Bush, of course, he had a list, too. He had his version of baseball cards, like we talk about here with President Obama and his list. You know, Osama bin Laden, you know, Ayman Zawahiri, the number two to bin Laden. But what's interesting here and very different is I think what Colleen mentions, the kind of wide anonymity and almost an indiscriminate quality to people who are being assassinated, executed by the United States from on high around the world. And I think what's fascinating here is the broader discussion of the so-called hearts and minds struggle, which this president, was someone who clearly has particular skills in engaging in, but has not. This is something that has caused confusion among folks around the world, especially after that extraordinary speech he gave early in his administration in June of 2009 in Cairo, which was an extraordinary address as to the way East and West should be getting along, as to America's role in the wider world as a force for good, and as to someone who understands that this is not a war against Islam. It's a war against people who act with terror to kill innocents. Having said that, he has not really engaged on that front much beyond that speech. In fact, on this broader issue of the hearts and minds struggle, so-called, and America's role, it wasn't until September of 2011, that's less than a year ago, that there were, you know, sort of clear meetings and strategies being built as to how we might do that. Instead, what we have are death from the sky moments, which do get trumpeted around the world, certainly in South Asia, much of the so-called Arab world, where this is the thumbprint of America's power, essentially people are killed. Some of them, of course, folks involved with terrorism, but clearly the evidence shows many not. And each one of them, those innocent folks, creates a little community of others who are rightfully angry at the United States. And I think many experts show that the benefits of this program may be outweighed by the way it is spurring more terrorist recruitment around the world.
Well, that's Ron Susskind, a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. Let me go back to Colleen Rowley with that then, former FBI special agent. So perhaps it's actually losing us the war for hearts and minds. But what does this tell us about President Obama as commander-in-chief, a man who is obviously extremely involved? He seems to have said that he is morally responsible for every single name on that list, at the same time that he's being very secretive about this. What does this tell about him as a military leader?
Well, I'm glad that he thinks he's morally responsible. I would say that when you start creating an assassination kill list, it's more than the care. He talks about the care in this false trade-off between security and liberty. And what you're doing is magnifying it. If you cannot win the hearts and minds, and you are inevitably killing civilians, there is no way to win this. I don't care what kind of great PR program you have. If you are killing children, and actually they talk about even adding teenagers to this list, there's going to be no way that they're going to be able to win this. And, of course, morally, without any kind of backing of the American public, because it is all in secret, I don't see how that he can walk this thin line. Now, he's trying to look tough for political purposes, and he's got David Axelrod in the room, obviously his political Karl Rove. He's also got people that are
I doubt he has Karl Rove in there, but he's got many advisors probably as well. Yeah, absolutely, it's understood.
Well, Axelrod is his Karl Rove.
Axelrod.
Axelrod is his Karl Rove.
Colleen Rowley, former FBI special agent and division counsel in Minneapolis, and Ron Susskind, Pulitzer Prize winning journalist, author of The Price of Loyalty and Confidence Men. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.